Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and this special Bible study that the Lord has given us the privilege to put together in further celebration of our women and our mothers. Glory to God. I want to welcome everyone who is joining us in real time tonight, and those that are joining us afterwards, and maybe you are joining us on one of our platforms, video streaming platforms, or maybe you are listening to this on our podcast and our audio. I thank you so much for joining us. I thank every woman, every young woman, older woman, every girl. Thank you for making it a date with us tonight. Glory to God. You will not be disappointed. The Lord has a special word prepared for you, and I'm really humbled and excited to share it with you. I also thank God for every man, every male person who is online with us. I know you have a woman in your life or a girl in your life that you are raising, and the Lord is going to speak to you as well and show you areas where we can pray, where we can prepare our women, where we can stand with them and support them, amen, and encourage them. But first of all, let's thank God, and congratulations to all our women for this occasion of this season that the Lord has given to us to celebrate our mothers and our women. Glory to God. I'm just really excited. You all do so much. I really, truly don't know how you get it all done. It's got to be the grace of God. So thank God for His grace on your lives. Many of you are, you're taking care of families, taking care of children, taking care of parents. You work jobs to try to keep your homes and your resources sufficient. Some of you are trying to advance in your career. You're doing extra courses, try to get one more degree or just move forward in that area of your calling. Praise God. Many of you are married. Some of you are not. Looking forward to just having a good life. Glory to God. And the Lord remembers you, and the Lord's blessings are on you, and His grace be multiplied towards you. We've prayed that. We prayed that for our women last Sunday. Glory to God. And I'm praying that over you again tonight. Amen. And I believe that the Lord sent me to minister this word and these words of encouragement to give you a dream for happiness, a dream that helps you to be happy today, tomorrow, and into your future as a woman. And of course, I have titled this message, this session of our Bible study, "Your Highest Calling is Virtue." As a woman, your highest calling is virtue. Glory to God. I want to read a couple of verses right after we pray. And I'm going to trust God to help us. There's so much. We have just about 45, 50 minutes, a little under 50 minutes. But I'm praying that the Lord will, He will speak only that which He has prepared to speak, that which He needs to be spoken in this moment, that He'll think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. He will impart understanding and impart life to every one of us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so very much. Thank you for this opportunity to be here together. Thank you, Lord, for those that you have called to join us. Lord, as we go through your word, Holy Spirit, we ask you for illumination, for clarity, for understanding. Let the Zoe life of God fill all of our minds, all of our spirits, all of our hearts today. Help us move forward. And Lord, I bless everyone under the sound of my voice, especially our precious women. You bless them tonight. You bless them, Father. I give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to start off from Proverbs 31, verse 10. I really want to focus on the latter part of that chapter, the couple of verses I want to read there before I go all the way to the New Testament. And much of what we'll be ministering tonight will be in the New Testament. I'll explain that in just a minute. But in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And then in verse 30, verse 29, it says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all." So who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10? Many daughters have done virtuously in verse 29. The same word, virtue. We're really more focused on the virtue that is described in the New Testament, but the virtue in the Old Testament, it's a great mention as well. He says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor, I love verse 30 very much. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I want you to notice that praise always accompanies virtue. Praise always accompanies virtue. Praise of the woman. Praise to God on behalf of the woman and for the woman because of what the woman is and because of what the woman has done. And praise from the elements of the world around the life of the woman. Virtue essentially is praise. Is praise erupting. Glory to God. You notice right here in verse 28, it says she opens her mouth with wisdom. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her house. In verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Praise. Then in verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And then in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise always accompanies virtue. I want you to see what it says in verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Charm, natural charm and beauty is deceitful. It promises something that does not last. It's a blessing to have it. It's a blessing to be beautiful. Hallelujah. Physically beautiful. But without virtue, beauty, physical beauty is really nothing. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Because all those things will pass. All those things will pass. At some point as we go through life, the things that we say make us beautiful, the things that you know, as we get older, as we move forward, no matter how we try to package it and present it, if that beauty was based just on externals, it fades. But virtue is the beauty that lasts a lifetime. So our highest calling as God's daughters is virtue. It is very important before I move on and we share some of the things that we're going to be ministering tonight. Just as a rule of the thumb, anytime we want to understand the mind of God, the heart of God regarding the things that are written in the Word of God, it's always important that we look at and we ask the question, what's the spirit behind this word that God has spoken? What's in the heart of God? Any instruction in the word, in the New Testament especially, what's in the heart of God? What's the purpose of that? Amen. And we're not so focused on the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Bible says, is a shadow. So I know that a lot of ministries and a lot of teachings for women and a lot of instructions for women and a lot of doctrines for women have been pulled out of the Old Testament erroneously a lot of times. But really, we're New Testament people. The New Covenant is what shows us the heart of God. We always have to ask, what was the original will, the original intent of God? You find that in the Garden of Eden before the fall, right? What was the will and the purpose of God for the woman? It's found in that garden before the fall. And then it's found in the New Testament after Jesus came, after redemption happened. Amen. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this might be a scripture to keep in mind, even for other things, as we seek to grow closer to the Lord and to learn his ways and to know the heart of God. It says, I'm going to read that from the Amplified. It is God who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not ministers of the letter of the legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law will kill, or it kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. This is really important in order to understand and to become acquainted with God's best for our lives. And in this case, because he's sending a word to our women, God's will, God's purpose, God's best for the woman, we've got to ask, what is in his heart? What is in the Spirit? What is the Spirit behind a lot of what the Lord spoke through his servants, through his ministers, especially in the New Testament? And when we ask that question and we can find God's heart, then it really opens the door for us to be able to get God's best. Well, as a woman, your highest calling in this life is virtue. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and read a couple of scriptures. If you want to be happy as a woman, you're doing so much. You're laboring, you're giving, you're sacrificing, there's so much. You're giving everywhere, just laboring everywhere, raising children, going to school, all these things that I mentioned at the beginning. And those of us who have done all of that are older women, we're still laboring. The Lord wants you to be happy. As a woman, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy today. He wants you to be happy tomorrow. And he wants you to be happy for the rest of your life, especially in your old days, in your latter years. God wants you to be happy. Many women are not happy. They're laboring, they're doing a lot of these things, but many women are tired. Many women are frustrated. Many women they're fighting wars, some of which they really don't even have any business fighting. Many women are tired. But God wants you to be happy. Can you say that with me tonight? God wants me to be happy, and I choose to be happy. What is the prescription for a life of peace and happiness for every woman, every daughter of God? It's virtue. It's living a life of virtue. Let's go into the New Testament and let's begin to read a few scriptures here. I hope you have your Bibles. Now, some of this, I hope you can study afterwards. There's so much that I would not be able to touch. It's just a one session. And the Holy Spirit is going to help me to pick and choose what he wants me to speak about or talk or mention in this one session. I know it's not the last time that I'm going to have a service like this where I'm addressing women, because this is based on a conversation that I had with the Lord. It's based on a direction that I received from the Lord, a mandate that I received from the Lord. So I know that by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries, is coming, I'm going to have many more opportunities to do this kind of thing that I'm doing tonight. But of course, it won't be regular. It won't be every week. So I'm trusting God to help us get exactly what he has for us tonight. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 3 and 4, in the King James, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel," verse 4, "but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." What virtue is? Virtue is what makes a woman extremely valuable in the sight of God. In the Message, it says, "What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, and the cut of your clothes, the way you wear your clothes. No? But what matters, what really matters, is your inner disposition." It says, "Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in." Virtue is inner beauty. Virtue is a good inner disposition. And I'll say a number of things about it and try to give some explanations and some definitions of the word virtue as I go along. In the Passion Translation, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Let your true beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on the external, for lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight and is much more important than the outward adorning or outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes." He's not saying adorning your hair is wrong. He's not saying there's a problem with jewelry. He's not saying, even though doctrines have been built on these kind of things, he's not saying wearing fine clothes is wrong. Even though doctrines have been built on those kind of external things, focus on external things. But what the Lord is really saying, the heart of God, you know, what we said at the beginning, what's the heart of God regarding virtue in the life of a woman? It's a focus on the inward being, a focus on inward beauty, the focus on inward peace, meekness, goodness. Amen. Let your adorning not be outward, but inward. The inward man is where virtue resides. The inward person, the inward being, the inward man, that inner person we don't see, is where virtue resides. And of course, the virtue on the outside will be manifest on the out, on the virtue on the inside will be manifest on the outside. But the focus is on the inside, not on the outside. I know decades ago, and who knows in different parts of the world, how long ago a lot of these teachings have gone around where there's so much focus on what a woman wears, the length of her skirt, whether she wears pants, whether she wears jewelry, whether she makes her hair the way she wants, or all of this stuff, and rules and regulations, and a lot of legalistic things, a lot of legalistic things. But a lot of those things were really distractions that Satan introduced to pull us away from the heart of God. to drive us away from the heart of God regarding virtue in the life of a woman. Well, we're getting back to the heart of God tonight. We're focusing a lot on the heart of God tonight. The inward man is where virtue resides. A woman with inward virtue, the Bible is telling us, is of great value before God. A woman with inward virtue is of great value before God. So virtue residing in the inward man, in the inward person, in the inner person, is not a put-on. It's not something that we switch on or off at will. But it becomes your natural disposition and the identity by which you are recognized all the time. You are not virtuous in some environments, like at church, and then a monster in some other environments, like at home or at work or in different places. No, when you are a woman of virtue, that's your identity. You are not known by that once in a while. When you turn on the switch. No, that's who you are. That's your default. That's your spiritually natural disposition. So what is virtue then? Virtue means something that is worthy of praise. Excellence in character, behavior, attitude, and disposition. Your highest calling is virtue as a woman of God. Your highest calling is virtue. And virtue means it's worthy of praise. Excellence in character, behavior, attitude, and disposition. Like we said earlier, a lot of the New Testament scriptures that reference the word virtue actually have praise accompanying them as well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Praise always accompanies virtue. Virtue means it's worthy of praise. When people look at it, oh, they praise the woman. Then they praise God because of the woman. And then praise erupts in the gates, in the elements around the life of the woman. So many, 1 Peter 2:9, virtue. You are called, your highest calling, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. The translation says the virtues of him who calls you is the same original Greek word. The virtue, the praises. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And beside all this, 2 Peter 1:5, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Virtue is always accompanied by praise. Virtue means it is worthy of praise. It's excellence in character, behavior, attitude, and disposition. Notice all of these things are inward. All of these things begin on the inside. Hallelujah. Virtue is the greatest value a woman, whether a young woman or an older woman, must pursue in order to be successful and happy through every phase and season of their life. Virtue must be pursued. We must pursue virtue. We must pursue virtue as a priority of our lives. Hallelujah. Virtue is the greatest value a woman, whether a young woman or older woman, must pursue in order to be successful and happy through every phase and season of their life. Listen to this. The cycles of a woman's life will change as they walk through and experience life, but the value of virtue will never change. The cycles of a woman's life will change as they walk through and experience life, but the value of virtue will never change. The glory of a woman is her virtue. If you lack virtue, you also lack glory. Your beauty, your power, your glory is your virtue. Without virtue, a woman is unattractive and undesirable, regardless of her outward physical makeup and appearance. Doesn't matter what they wear, doesn't matter. Without virtue, a woman is not beautiful. Because virtue is the real beauty. And so, yeah, sometimes, you know, the physical outward appearance can attract attention, can call attention to beauty, but if there is no virtue, when that attention is now given, there'll be a lot of disappointment. Because the real beauty of a woman is her virtue. You have never, and I have never, seen an ugly woman who is a virtuous woman. It's just, there's no virtuous woman that is not a beautiful woman. Hallelujah. Your beauty, your power, your glory is your virtue. Without virtue, a woman is unattractive and undesirable, regardless of how she looks outside or what she's wearing, her makeup, her dress. No, without virtue, a woman is undesirable and unattractive. I want to read in 1 Timothy Chapter 2, verse 9. I don't really have the time to read the Amplified and the Message. These are very good translations, but I'm just going to read in the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 in the New Living Translation. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes, saying that the focus of a woman's beauty is not on the outside. That's all he's saying. He's not saying it's wrong to wear jewelry. He's not saying it's wrong to fix your hair. He's not saying it's wrong to wear gold, pearls, or wear expensive clothes. In verse 10, it says, in the New Living Translation, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. See, the virtue is the beauty. The virtue is the attraction. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. And the good things they do can only flow from inside them, from the inward man, from that inner man. In the Message in verse 10, 1 Timothy 2:10, it says, but doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. That is how a woman beautifies herself. By doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful while doing it. Virtue is the inward cultivation and the outward exhibition of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, meekness, kindness, faithfulness, soberness. Well, look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That is the definition of virtue. Cultivating, inward cultivation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, virtue is love. Joy, virtue is joy. Peace, virtue is peace, peace-loving, long-suffering, kindness, virtue is kindness, goodness, Virtue is goodness, 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 goodness. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. A commitment to others, to other causes beyond ourselves. That's virtue. Gentleness, gentle, a gentle disposition. It's not a personality trait. It's what's in the spirit, it's what is in the heart. Gentleness of heart is virtue. Self-control is virtue. Says against such there is no law. Virtue is not a personality type, but it's inward character. Your virtue is your superpower as a woman. As a woman, your highest calling is not to be the most physically attractive or the most physically beautiful woman in the world. It is not to be the most educated woman in the world. Even though there's nothing wrong, that's actually awesome. Being physically attractive is awesome. Glory to God. But that's not your highest calling. Your highest calling is not to be the most anointed preacher in the kingdom of God. Oh, glory to God, it's awesome to be a preacher in the kingdom of God, to be anointed as a woman to preach the word. But that's not your highest calling. It's not your highest calling to birth as many children as can fill a classroom. Glory to God, it's a blessing to have children, to be able to nurture children. But that's not your highest calling as a woman. Your highest calling as a woman of God is to be a woman of virtue, radiating the glory of God, the beauty of Jesus, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. I've got to say that again. Your highest calling as a woman of God is to be a woman of virtue, radiating the glory of God, the beauty of Jesus, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. And you know what? When you do that, praise. Praise accompanies the things you do. Praise accompanies the fruits you bear. Praise accompanies your life. Praise accompanies your initiatives, your aspirations. Why? Because you are radiating the glory of God. You are radiating the beauty of Jesus. And you are manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. If you fail to do this, you have failed completely to fulfill the purpose for which God created you and sent you to the earth. Glory to God. Our time is going. I want to take a few minutes to address the notion of feistiness. I call it feistiness in women. And the concept of the independent woman that is gaining a lot of traction in the world and in the church. I've heard a lot of messages over the last 40 years or so on women needing to be fighters and warriors, etc. The popular mama bear analogy of a woman. Yes, sometimes you will need to stand your ground and fight for what is yours, whether you are a man or a woman. But please, let's focus on the New Testament. Let's look at all the women that were around the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Let's look at all the women that were in the early church and in the Acts of the Apostles. Let's look at all the women that were referenced in the letters that were written by the apostles to the churches. There is not a single reference to an exemplary woman who was a mama bear. This concept came from the world and has now been popularized by the church. The reason I'm talking about it is because I know Satan has an ungodly agenda in pushing this concept. I wouldn't even laugh about it. It's not something I want to laugh about. Feistiness in a woman. A woman being a warrior, a fighter. It's not your default disposition. That's not what you were created for. Listen to this. You were not created to fight or to be a warrior. But you were created to be God's sweet fragrance on the earth. Eve was not created or designed by God to be a fighter. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden was responsible for the evils that you and I need to fight against today. But remember, redemption has already happened, and Jesus has already given you the victory. Your default disposition as a woman should be sweetness, not feistiness. Let me say that again. Your default disposition, the default disposition of a woman of virtue is sweetness, not feistiness. Yes, fight your battles on your knees and behind the scenes. Yes, take hold of the victories that Jesus has given to you behind the scenes. But in your everyday life, have a sweet, loving, kind, peaceful, graceful disposition. Don't be known as a warrior, as a woman. I love prayer warriors, glory to God. But prayer warriors do their work behind the scenes. The prayer warriors talked about in the New Testament, they did their work behind the scenes. In their everyday lives, they had a pleasant disposition. There was a sweetness about them. There's a reason the Lord is having me talk to you about this. This feisty disposition has destroyed a lot of relationships, a lot of homes, a lot of marriages, a lot of churches, a lot of segments in the kingdom of God. This feistiness. This is a teaching that has been around for quite a while. But Satan has an agenda in pushing that over virtue. I want you to listen to me. This is the New Testament prescription for a woman's lifelong peace and happiness. You are more beautiful when you are sweet. You are more virtuous when you are sweet. You are more lovable when you are sweet. You are more fruitful when you are sweet. You are more godly and God-pleasing when you are sweet. You are more powerful when you are sweet. You are more influential when you are sweet. Your default disposition as a woman of God and a daughter of Zion should be sweetness and not feistiness. I want you to see how some of the words that are used are synonyms of feisty and feistiness. Aggressive, antagonistic, argumentative, assaultive, bellicose, belligerent, brawly, chippy, combative, confrontational, contentious, discordant, disputatious, gladiatorial, militant, pugnacious, quarrelsome, scrappy, truculent, warlike. That's not virtue. As a woman of God, that's not your default disposition. Eve had no battles to fight in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And even though the fall happened, always remember, redemption has also happened. We are simply fighting and standing on the Word of God to manifest the victory that Jesus died to give to us. Amen. And as a woman, it is so important that you pay attention to your disposition, to your demeanor. Hallelujah. Feisty is not what God wants people to know you by. Feisty, aggressive. That's not your default disposition. Sweet is virtue, kind, gentle, meek. That's not a personality. You can be outgoing, you can be You can be loud, you can be in your personality and yet have a quiet, gentle spirit, which is undeniable to people around you. Feisty is how Satan wants people to see you. But as a woman, if you buy into that and you have this feisty disposition, you lose. You allow Satan to erode some of the glory that God put upon you. The glory that God put upon you is virtue, is goodness, is meekness, is kindness, is loving. Yeah, there are some wars to fight. There are times when we need to stand and we need to take what is ours. But that's not our default disposition. Every now and then we need to do that behind the scenes. Every now and then we need to go. We need to take our place. We need to take authority. And a lot of times, that's behind the scenes where we are taking those victories. But in our relationships, we're kind. We are loving. We are gracious. We are graceful. We are peace-loving. We are peace-loving. Quarrelsome is not virtue. I was very intrigued by some of the discoveries I made when I came into the body of Christ. As a young man, I grew up in a family of feisty people. People were always fighting. The men were beating the women. The women were, fighting to defend themselves and protect themselves. There's fighting and there's divorce. People were not happy. There was no peace, no joy, no love. I was very surprised when I came into the body of Christ to see exactly the same thing amongst a lot of godly women. The only difference is now they are aggressive, they are quarrelsome, they are feisty, but they have some Holy Ghost lingo to go with it. And earlier on, even in my ministry, when I first went into the ministry almost 40 years ago, I'll never forget one of the leaders of global women's organization, Christian women's organization. The Lord had given me the privilege of having a close association with this woman of God. And one of the situations that marked me permanently almost 40 years ago was an event we were doing, and I was going into a hotel in Nigeria. This was really one of the foremost women leaders, women ministry leaders in that entire nation, Nigeria, and actually around the world at the time, and had a very large following. But I remember that I walked into this hotel lobby because we had an event there, we had an appointment there, and she knew I was coming. I was a very young minister. And somehow she had taken a liking to me and had a lot of confidence in me and pulled me aside and was telling me a lot of the things she was fighting about in her life, in her ministry, what she was fighting about in her home, what she was fighting about in life generally. And one of the things that stood out to me was she was not happy. She was a warrior woman, teaching many women how to be warriors. But I also noticed that a lot of what she was teaching were really results of her personal struggle. I knew it. She was not happy. She had the demeanor of a very calm, very quiet woman, but she had wars going on inside. She was feisty. She was not sweet. And She didn't have a lot of peace. She didn't have a lot of joy. There wasn't much virtue. She was a warrior woman, but there was no virtue. Her home was in shambles. And unfortunately, she didn't live very long. Your default disposition as a woman of God is sweetness, not feistiness. Unfortunately, all these synonyms of feistiness that I just read, aggressive, agonist, antagonistic, argumentative, assaultive, bellicose, belligerent, brawly, chippy, combative, confrontational, contentious, discordant, disputatious, gladiatorial, militant, pugnacious, quarrelsome, scrappy. Unfortunately, many of these words describe majority of women in our generation, both saved and unsaved. As part of what Satan has done in replacing the sweetness of virtue, that's the highest calling of a woman, and selling this agenda of feistiness. I have to fight for what is mine. I fight for my children, I fight for my husband, I fight for my ministry, I fight for my money, I fight for... That's not the will of God for you. Let me try to move on. I know my time is going to be up in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to hit 15 minutes. Satan is evil and this world is unfair. But don't allow Satan to drain away and erode the sweetness and fragrance that God has invested in you by making you focus on being a warrior or fighter. Satan's plan is to do that to you, woman, by using the evils he has infested the world with to steal away the glory of God on your life. Never give up your life of virtue and goodness, no matter what life throws at you. Pursue virtue. Be sweet, be kind, be loving, be peaceable, be agreeable. Don't be a habitual fighter. Be a woman of virtue. And virtue will give you the upper hand over every attack of the enemy. You've probably heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth's wife. Smith Wigglesworth was one of the greatest vessels that God used at the turn of the century. He was a man who didn't really have a lot of regard. He was very rough on the edges. But he was married to a Christian woman. And that woman was a woman of virtue. And there's a lot that was reported about some of the things that he did and the ways that he treated her that were so wrong. But he eventually found the Lord because of the virtue of his woman, of this woman that he was married to. This Christian, godly Christian woman. Hallelujah. Virtue conquers all. When you pursue virtue above everything else for the glory of God in your life, God himself will fight your battles and give you the upper hand in all the battles of life that you encounter. A woman of virtue never loses. You know the story of the importunate woman in Luke chapter 18. A woman of virtue never loses. Virtue is a legacy that must be passed on. It must be taught and handed down to the younger generation of women and girls, not by instructing legalism, but by demonstrating the spirit of virtue and inward goodness, and then exemplifying the outer works that virtue produces. Let's teach our young girls virtue. Let's teach our young women virtue. Let's teach our older women virtue. That's the New Testament culture of the kingdom. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, in the New Living Translation, Paul was instructing Titus, he says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. That's virtue. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. That's virtue. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. That's virtue. To live wisely and to be pure. To walk in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. He's simply saying the spirit of what he's saying, what Paul was saying to Titus. Tell the women, the older women, the ones who have walked with God long, to pass on the legacy of virtue to the younger ones. Teach them virtue. Yeah, teach them to go to school. Yes, teach them to earn a living. Yes, teach them to be teach them everything, but teach primarily, above everything else, teach them virtue. Let me close. Ruth, the woman Ruth, is really one of the best examples, a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. A woman who became one of the people in the lineage of Christ, but started out as someone who was not really in the covenant. It was through the story of Ruth that we learn about the kinsman redeemer. One of the more fascinating things about Ruth was her life started with virtue, the loyalty to be around her mother-in-law. But because she had that virtue, God used that to add everything to her. She became a woman of influence. She became a wealthy woman. She married the most wealthy man in the nation. Became one of the people who was in the line of Christ. But it started with virtue. She was a good woman. And because she pursued virtue as a priority of her life, when her mother-in-law, Naomi, started teaching her what to do, how to go about some of the things she needed to do, she obeyed. When you're a woman of virtue, God adds to you without damage. There's so many different ways in which you can accomplish your goals in life. You can break things and you can do things your own way. You can accomplish your goals by doing that, but you will have and you will suffer some damage. The only way God really can give you a fully, completely successful life and a blessed future full of peace and joy and happiness is that you pursue virtue as the priority of your life every day. I pray tonight as we close that the grace of God will elevate you, will energize you, will empower you. That grace will help you get beyond the pressures of life and the unfairness of the world and the evil of Satan. And that grace will enable you to rise and to lay hold on the blessings of God's virtue that have been made available to you as his daughter. Receive that grace tonight. I call you blessed. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this study. There's so much to do, so much to talk about, but our time is up and I've got to stop. I'm going to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless every woman under the sound of my voice. Older woman, younger woman, girl, ladies, Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus, the grace that you have made available in this service tonight through this word that you have instructed, be spoken. I command that grace invade their lives, that it elevate them and enable them to lay hold on the inheritance that you have made available to them in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the favor, the beauty, the life, the graces that you have made available to them today. I call them blessed. And I give you the glory and the praise, Father. I thank you for doing it, Lord. Doing so much more than we could have asked. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. God bless you, women. Thank you for being a part of our service tonight. Our time is up. We got to go. Join us next week. We're going to go back to talking about renovating your mind, elevating your life. God bless you. Good night.